Have you ever watched an airplane come down final, low and fast and drifting off the center line, and thought to yourself that pilot should just go around and then watch them land it anyway? I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar. Today we are going to talk about the one maneuver that is on every check ride, that every pilot swears they know how to do, and that still bites people at every experience level. The go-around, the balked landing, the rejected landing, whatever you want to call it, it comes down to one thing. Deciding not to land when landing is the wrong idea, and then flying the airplane cleanly while you climb back up to try again. Here is the thing that makes this maneuver different from almost everything else we teach. The stick and rudder part is not hard. Full power, pitch for climb, clean up the airplane, fly the pattern. You could teach the mechanics in an afternoon. The hard part lives entirely in your head. The hard part is the decision. And the decision is where people get hurt. Before we go any further, let me thank the folks who help keep this show on the air. Shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones you worked hard for. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's walk through this together. Why does the go-around matter so much? Because a landing is the one phase of flight where you are deliberately flying the airplane close to the ground, slow in a configuration that is producing a lot of drag, with very little energy in the bank. Everything that makes an airplane safe, altitude, airspeed, options, you have traded most of it away on purpose in order to touch down. That is the whole point of landing, but it also means that when something goes wrong down there, you do not have much room, and you do not have much time. So, the go-around exists to give you an out. It is the escape hatch. And here is the mindset I want you to build, and it is the mindset the examiner is looking for on your check ride. Every single approach is a go-around that you might decide to convert into a landing. Not the other way around. You're not landing until proven otherwise. You're going around until the airplane is on the runway in a position and condition where landing is clearly the safe choice. That flip in thinking is everything, because the pilot who plans to land and treats the go-around as the backup plan will hesitate. They have already committed emotionally. They will try to salvage a bad approach, but the pilot who flies every approach ready to reject it, that pilot's hand is already on the throttle and their brain has already rehearsed the out. Let me give you the reasons you go around, and I want you to notice how many of them have nothing to do with you flying poorly. You go around when the runway is not clear. An airplane that has not turned off, a deer, a truck, a guy on a lawnmower who did not hear your radio call. You go around when you're not stabilized, too high, too fast, too far down the runway, not on centerline, not configured. You go around when a gust or a wind shear upsets the airplane and you're not confident you can put it down safely. You go around when you balloon on the flare and you're not sure how much runway you just ate. You go around when the tower tells you to. You go around when the airplane ahead of you is slow to clear and you're closing on them. And here's one people forget. You go around when you just do not like it, when something feels off and you cannot even name it yet. That feeling is data, respect it. Now here is something I wish someone told me when I was training. The go-around is free. It costs you 5, maybe 10 minutes and a little bit of avgas. That is it. That is the entire price. Compare that to the cost of forcing a bad landing, a prop strike, a collapsed nose gear, a runway excursion into the grass. A bent airplane and a phone call to your insurance company and a report you have to file. When you weigh 5 minutes against all of that, the math is not close. The go-around is the cheapest insurance policy in all of aviation, and it is the one people are strangely reluctant to buy, so why do we hesitate? Let's be honest about this, because naming it is how you beat it. We hesitate because of ego. Going around feels like admitting you got it wrong. Especially with someone in the right seat, or the tower listening, or your buddies watching from the ramp. Nobody wants to look like they blew the approach. We hesitate because of what psychologists call plan continuation bias, and what the rest of us call get their itis pointed at the runway. You have been flying this approach for 2 minutes. Your whole brain is organized around the idea of landing. Reversing that decision at the last second is genuinely hard, because your mind keeps telling you it will work out. It will work out. Just a little more. And we hesitate because we did not decide in advance. This is the big one. If you have not defined, before the approach, exactly what a good approach looks like, and exactly when you will abandon it, Then you are trying to make a complex safety decision in the worst possible 3 seconds. Low, slow, task saturated, with the ground rushing up. That is not the moment to be doing math. So let's fix that with the stabilized approach concept. This is your decision tool, and it is the thing that turns the go around from a panicked reaction into a calm, pre-briefed choice. A stabilized approach means that by a certain point on final, everything is set. For most of us in light singles, that gate is somewhere around 500 feet above the ground on a visual approach. By that gate, you want to be on the correct final approach path on center line or correcting to it at your target approach speed, give or take a small margin, in your landing configuration with the flaps you intend to use, with the power set and only small adjustments needed, and with the airplane in trim. If you arrive at that gate and any of those things is meaningfully wrong and you cannot fix it with a small smooth correction, you go around, you do not negotiate, you do not give it another 5 seconds. That is the whole beauty of the gate. You made the hard decision earlier when you briefed it, when your brain was calm, now you're just executing a rule you already agreed to say it out loud in the pattern if it helps. I do this with students all the time. Coming down final, just talk on speed, on center line, on glide path. Configured. And if one of those is not true and will not become true, then the words out of your mouth are going around and your hand does the rest. Naming the picture keeps you honest. Now let's actually fly the maneuver, because the decision is only half of it. The other half is doing it cleanly, and the check ride will test both. The moment you decide, commit, power first, smoothly but positively to full power, or take off power for your airplane. In most of our trainers, that also means checking that carburetor heat is cold, because you want full power available and you do not want that warm, less dense air robbing you when you need every horse. Almost simultaneously control the pitch. When you shove the throttle in on a fixed pitch, high thrust line trainer, the nose wants to pitch up, and you're likely trimmed for a low approach speed, which makes that pitch up even stronger, so you're going to have to push. Do not fight to hold a perfect attitude with brute force and then forget about it. Set a positive climb attitude and get ready to trim that pressure off. Because if you let the nose come way up while you're slow and dragging full flaps, you're flirting with a stall right when you have the least room to recover. Then, arrest the descent and start the climb. Confirm you have a positive rate. Vertical speed climbing, altimeter climbing, the picture out front showing the ground falling away. Now the flaps, and this is where technique matters, because dumping all the flaps at once close to the ground can cause a sink, and that is exactly what you do not want 10 or 20 feet up. So, we do it in stages as you establish the climb. Retract from full flaps to an intermediate setting. Let the airplane accelerate and continue climbing. Then, once you have a positive rate and you're climbing away with airspeed building, milk the rest of the flaps up. Check your airplane's flight manual and how your instructor teaches it, because the exact settings vary, but the principle is universal. Power, pitch, positive climb, then clean up in stages, never all at once down low. If you have retractable gear, the order in most airplanes is flaps to the initial setting first, confirm a positive rate of climb, then gear up. You want to be climbing before you commit the gear so that if something is not right, you still have wheels underneath you, then fly the airplane. Track the extended center line. Do not let it drift you over the parallel taxiway or into a nearby pattern. Climb at the appropriate speed and rejoin the traffic pattern like any other departure. Make your radio call. Going around, simple, clear, and it lets everyone else in the pattern rebuild their picture of where you are. Let me put you in a couple of real scenarios because this is where it gets practical. Scenario 1. You're on short final, nicely stabilized, feeling good, and the airplane that landed ahead of you is still rolling out. It is taking its sweet time. You're watching the gap close. Do not sit there hoping they clear in time. That hope is not a plan. Power up, go around and offset slightly to the side of the runway so you can keep them in sight as you climb over and past. You just removed yourself from any chance of a collision, and it cost you one lap around the pattern. Scenario 2. Gusty crosswind day. You cross the threshold, start your flare, and a gust picks up the upwind wing and balloons you. Suddenly, you're 15 feet in the air, slow, with the airplane crossed up and the runway sliding underneath you. This is the classic moment. Your instinct might be to push the nose down and salvage it. Do not. That is how you arrive nose first and bounce or worse. Balloon plus uncertainty equals go around. Power in, level the pitch, fly away, and come set it up again. There is no trophy for saving an ugly one. Scenario 3, and this one is subtle. Everything looks fine, numbers are good, but you have got a nagging feeling, Maybe the wind sounds different, maybe your scan feels behind. You cannot point to a single broken parameter. Go around anyway, I mean it. Part of building good judgment is learning to act on that quiet alarm before it has evidence to show you. The best pilots I know have all gone around for reasons they could not fully explain until they were safely climbing away, and every one of them will tell you it was the right call. Now let me talk to you specifically about the check ride, because this maneuver shows up in the airman certification standards and examiners have seen every version of getting it wrong. The examiner is looking for a few things. First, that you recognize the need and act promptly. Without that long, deer in the headlights pause. Second, that your sequence is correct and smooth. Power, pitch, positive climb, flaps in stages. Third, that you maintain control the whole time, that you do not let the airspeed decay or let the nose balloon up while your head's down fumbling for the flap lever. And fourth, that you keep your situational awareness, you track the center line, you do not drift into conflicting traffic, and you make the appropriate radio call. Here is the mistake I see bust more applicants than anything else on this maneuver. It is not the mechanics, it is the delay. The examiner calls go around or sets up a scenario that clearly demands one, and the applicant waits. They stare. They try to land it anyway to prove they can. And in that hesitation, they hand the examiner exactly the evidence they did not want to give, that they are reluctant to reject a bad situation. And here is a second one, quieter but just as common. The applicant who goes around fine on the check ride because they were told to, but who you can tell has never internalized it as their own decision to make. The examiner is not just grading the maneuver. They are grading whether you own the choice. So on your check ride, and this is genuine advice, if you set up an approach that is not stabilized, go around before the examiner has to say anything. That is not a failure. That is you demonstrating exactly the judgment they are hoping to find. A self-initiated go around on a bad approach is one of the strongest things you can show in that airplane. Let me leave you with the reframe, because if you take one thing from this segment, make it this. A go around is not a mistake. It is not a failure. It is not you being a bad pilot. It is the single most professional thing you can do when an approach is not working out. Airline crews do it. Military pilots do it. The best stick and rudder pilots you will ever meet do it, without ego, without hesitation, because they decided a long time ago that they would rather go around 100 times too early than one time too late. Learning to fly is hard, and it is expensive, and I'm not going to pretend otherwise, but the go-around is one of those rare places where the safe choice and the cheap choice are the exact same choice. Buy the insurance every time. My thanks to the FAA's Airman Certification Standards and the Airplane Flying Handbook for the framework behind today's discussion. You can find more at radiohanger.com. So next time you're on final and something in your gut says no, listen to it, power up, climb out, and go around. Nobody ever bent an airplane going around. I'm Pattern Fly Safe, and I'll see you back in the pattern.